Shall we read again in Isaiah, please, and chapter 55? Isaiah chapter 55. Reading from verse 1. For everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Now, with the help of the Lord, I want to try and remind you this evening of what I would call divine peace terms that are found in chapter 55 of this prophecy. If I were to begin in chapter 53, we would notice that God reminds us of peace that's available. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And every soul that in simple, childlike faith believes God, that when the Savior died at Calvary, when the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all, and trust him as Savior, they know this peace that God gives. Then in chapter 4, he speaks about peace that abides. Chapter 54. And now he tells us, where we read in verse 12 of our chapter, a peace that's acquired. Every soul that enters into the good of this, God says he's led forth with joy and with peace. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have peace in a troubled world. The world tonight is looking for a peacemaker. I can remember some years ago now, preaching the gospel in the city of Boston, and it was toward the end of that useless conflict in Vietnam, where 55,000 young Americans laid down their lives in the jungles of that land. So uselessly. Thousands of them, tens of thousands, still lying in hospitals as a result of those days. But the whole nation was stirred because it seemed to be endless. And it was just a farce at the best. And I talked to men that were there, and they had enough ammunition and weaponry in that land to, in about 2 short weeks, end that conflict. But because of political situations, it just drug on. And the nation was aroused and demanded peace. I remember one day being in the Boston Common, the large park down in the center of Boston, one Saturday. And there were 100,000 people there, and the cry on all their lips was, peace! Peace. And the day came when peace came. But my friend, I wonder tonight, do you have peace in your heart? You see, that's the desire of the Savior. You notice we read those words, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth." That's the only requirement. Did my brother read in John 7 tonight the words of the Master? That day as he stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Most significant when he said that. That was the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And for 6 days of that week, the priests carried water up to the temple. But on the last day, there was no water brought there. And likely many of them were thirsty. And the Savior stands and avails himself on that occasion. And he says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." I wonder, is there a thirsty soul in the meeting tonight? For my friend, here are God's terms. Unconditional surrender. That's what God demands. I remember the days at the end of the Second War when we were all fed up with the whole business. And we couldn't wait for it to be signed. And on that mighty battleship, the Missouri, all of the high officials of the Japanese naval and air force and military officers were aboard that ship. And General MacArthur and all his officers. And the day came when the Japanese laid down their sword. The demands were unconditional surrender. Did you know that's what God demands of the sinner? My friend, you must come to terms with God on His terms. God demands the sinner lay down the arms of rebellion and turn from their sin, repentance toward God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now very quickly, I want you to notice what God tells us in this chapter. After telling us the requirement for salvation, are a thirsty soul, one that's longing for peace, tired of sin, tired of the world and its ways. Nothing seems to satisfy, and there's a deep longing to know this peace. Well, here's a word in verse 1 for those that are not satisfied. He simply says, "Come." You know, that's likely the simplest word in the English language. When a little child is beginning to try to take a few steps, and the mother or the father maybe stands them up against the wall or against the sofa, and they just put out their arms and say, "Come." And those little feet, they know what that means. The youngest child knows what it is. Well, my friend, here's a word for you in the meeting tonight, and you're unsatisfied. You've tried the broken cisterns of this world, as you've been reminded, and you've found there's nothing there that satisfies. There's always the emptiness, and there's always looking forward to something else. And there's the seeking and the restlessness, and there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But friend, he offers peace to you in the meeting tonight. You know, the Lord has said, come, right from chapter 7 of our Bible, right through to the very end. He said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. God invites the sinner to come. But I want to think again down in verse 3. Here's a verse for those who have no interests. God is trying to attract their attention. My friend, God wants your ear. He says, hear, and your soul shall live. Now I know there are many other voices that call tonight. There's a voice of pleasure. How that appeals to those who are young. The voice of fame. Sometimes popularity. How many voices there are and they're calling. But friend, I want to tell you the God of heaven, he wants your ear. He wants you to settle down and to listen to what he says and to turn from every other voice and to give attention to the God that loves you and wants you to be in heaven. I wonder, is there a soul tonight and your ear is tuned to what God says? That's how Isaiah began this prophecy. Give ear, O heaven, he says, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. God demands your attention. When he speaks, you must listen. But my friend, if you fail to listen to what God has said, you'll go on in your sins and perish. And perish eternal. All that you would listen tonight, he says, hear, and your soul shall live. Well, I want you to think of what he says down in verse 6. Here's a word again, and it's simply for those who seem to be drifting carelessly, they're unconcerned, and God is trying to arrest them. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, he said. Call ye upon him while he is near. You see what the Spirit of God is saying? That there's opportunity for those who are not saved to be saved in this meeting tonight. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You see, friend, the onus is on this point. That he may not always be found. How many there are tonight, if we could call them back and ask them, did they not have opportunity? And they would tell you that they sat in a gospel meeting, just as you have done. But they didn't hear the voice of God, and they didn't seek the Lord, and they failed to realize it was their last opportunity. Oh, friend, tonight God wants you to seek him. The prophet Jeremiah tells us, if you seek him, he'll be found of thee, if you search for him with all your heart. You see, it must be first. People that get God's salvation, they put it first. They go in for it. They put themselves under the sound of the gospel. They read gospel papers. They're not ashamed to talk to anyone They're trying to get help. I can remember so well when I determined I wanted God's salvation above everything else in this world. I was raised in a Christian home. I could very quickly tell you how God saved me. Spoon-fed with the gospel. A father who was a preacher. A mother who was saved and on the way to heaven. Grandparents in heaven. My mother's grandfather was saved in the 1859 revival. And I had a heritage that brought me into line for God's salvation, but there was a time when I wasn't really interested. I loved the pleasures of this world. I loved the soccer. I used to rather play that than eat. My father would never allow me to have a pair of boots, but I borrowed a pair that a friend of mine had, and he used to play with borrowed boots, and he never knew it. But friend, the day came when as a burdened sinner, I listened with might and main. I thought, what will it matter when it all ends and you're going out to meet God? What will you say then after all the opportunities that God has given to you? And I determined, if possible, I'm going to get God's salvation. And I began to seek Him. I sat in gospel meetings like these for 6 weeks. Mr. David Craig, that some here will remember, a little Scotchman that God blessed in a remarkable way, and in my book, The Prince of Preacher. Never heard anybody preach like him in my life. He saw hundreds of people led to the Savior. And the last night of meetings came, and I thought, I've really missed it. But you know, the next morning, as I lay in bed reading those lovely words of Isaiah 53:5, but He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon Him. And I didn't finish the verse. I just understood that He died for me. You see, I thought there was something that I had to do to make it true. Ah, friend, listen. It's what God said. And when the sinner seeks the Lord with all their heart, they'll find Him. God wants you, friend, to seek Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. But look again at what God says in verse 7. Not only does He tell us to hear, and to seek. But now He says, let the wicked forsake his way. Oh, here's a test. You know, I believe there are people, and this is why they don't get saved. They're not prepared to let the world go. They want God's salvation on the one hand, but they still want to hold on to the world. And some darling sin. And they're not prepared to say, take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name. My friend, God says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You remember Naaman, when he heard from that little maid that there was a prophet that could cleanse him of his leprosy. He went with his servants and with his changes of apparel and with his money, and he had all his own ideas. And over again, Naaman says, I thought he would come out, and he didn't bother his head to come out. He just sent his servant. And I thought this, and I thought that. And finally, Naaman humbled himself. And he went down 7 times in the Jordan. And his flesh became as the flesh of a little child. Now listen to what Naaman said. Now I know. He's not saying I thought anymore. He's saying, now I know there is no God like this God. Oh, friend, God wants you simply to forsake your sin and to turn and to trust Him. He says again in verse 7, not only let him forsake his way, but he says, let him return unto me. You see, that's what God wants the sinner to do. He stands tonight with outstretched arms like the father of that errant prodigal. As he saw that young man, Luke tells us, when he saw him, he ran. And he welcomed him. And he got the best robe. And he got shoes on his feet. And a ring on his finger. And he got the fatted calf. Friend, listen tonight. There's a God that would welcome you if you'd return. I wonder, am I speaking to someone tonight? Maybe like the prodigal. You've been wandering away from God. And you've been out lost in this world of sin. And again, the Spirit of God would strive at your heart's conscience, your heart's door, and reach your conscience. God says, let him return unto me. You know what would happen? Listen to what he said. He will. No question about it. No hoping. No wondering. God says He will abundantly pardon. But I wonder, friend, tonight, are you willing? While we know that God stands to welcome the sinner, but He waits. And again, those nail-pierced hands knock at the heart door. If any man open the door, he says, I will come in. But friend, you must open the door. God grant that some soul in the end will swing the heart door widely open. And let the blessed Savior in. He will abundantly pardon. My friend, you can know this, please. God says, my word has gone forth at my mouth. It will not return unto me, boy. That's why we know that God will bless His word. Friend, if you tonight will come with all your faith, look thy face to the cross, and realize that that lovely man that's there, the awful load of sin, when God dealt with him, He took the guilty sinner's place. He suffered in our stead. For man, O miracle of grace, for man the Savior's death. God help you to trust Him. You can go out of this meeting rejoicing, knowing your sins all forgiven, realizing that you have peace with God, because peace, friend, was procured out of it. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God help you in trusting Him. Our Father, we come now to Thee at the close of our coming together, and we thank Thee for that blessed One who made peace by the blood of His cross. We thank Thee that at Calvary He willingly laid down His life, a And we bless thee, Father, that tonight there's salvation. If there was a thirsty soul in this meeting, this one who never spake as he spoke when he was here, he offers a pardon absolutely free. We pray, Lord, that some precious soul or more tonight, in simple faith, will look to the cross and rest where thou dost rest. God is satisfied, and they can be satisfied as well. We commend this to thee now, in the name of the Lord Jesus.